Hello, friends. You're listening to Conversations. I'm Don Shire. I'm with Dave Wager, president of Silver Birch Ranch. Silver Birch Ranch is the supporter of this broadcast ministry, but it goes way beyond that. It's a youth camp. It's an adult camp. It's a college. It's multifaceted. It's not just here in northern Wisconsin. It's in Canada. And Dave, you speak all over the country. I travel all over the world with a trumpet and working with orphans and widows. And as we sit here today, as we kind of marvel at what God has done through the years, that's exactly the way we have to put it: to God be the glory.
You know, it is. You know, sometimes we get caught in the wrong layer of why. Mm-hmm. Let me explain that if I can. You know, we could say things like, why do we have Silver Birch Ranch? Well, to provide a safe place, an effective, safe, fun, and affordable place for children to come and to learn about God. Okay, that's good. But you know what the why behind the why really is? Is that we have a place like this to show the world who God is. Through all of the experience, through the building, through to the vendors, that's the ultimate why, not just the easy why. You know, we can all look at that and say, why should I eat healthy? Well, because you'll get sick. Even more than that, if you eat unhealthy long term, you know, there's going to be a ramification down the road. So you know, sometimes we stop at the wrong level of asking why we do things. You actually got involved in orphanages like all over the world, and orphans don't have anything to offer you. So you are somebody that's involved not only in raising money, if you want to call it, for their needs, and going down and visiting them and trying to organize things. You know, is it really just about feeding them? Is that what it's about?
Well, feeding them is, of course, important, but no, it's not. It's not about that. What gets me really excited, I'll talk about our widows for a moment.
Okay.
There are so many women that get just thrown out onto the streets in India. It's a very different culture than ours. But when a wife, her husband dies, it's considered her fault. She brought bad luck or bad karma on her husband. And it used to be that the custom was, when they were cremating the body, they would build a big fire and the husband's body would be in there, that she would throw herself into the flames and commit suicide. They outlawed that for very good reasons. And yet what's happening now, and what's kind of happened through the years now, is that the thought that it's her fault still exists. And so the family, the children, the relatives will actually put the woman out onto the street, and she's doomed to begging. And so we've taken, it's about 160 now of these women off of the streets and providing homes for them. And they're so grateful to have a home to live in, to know that there will be money coming in for their food. I bought them sewing machines. They make scarves, and I sell them at my concerts. And so their physical needs have been met. Now, we don't require them to be Christians when they come to us. We just know that they're women in need. But in the name of Christ, we reach out to them. Dave, the reputation that they have, the nickname, or what they're known as today, are the prayer widows. People in India, people that are involved with me, they know that we have widows that dedicate themselves every day to hours of praise and worship and prayer and studying God's word. They love God. I am going to spend eternity with them. And it started by feeding their stomachs and providing a roof over their head. But it goes way beyond that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Don, is I think sometimes we in America, we get involved in, I don't know, satisfying our guilt or whatever it might be, and just trying to take care of people. But we miss the purpose on why we take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a privilege to be a part of taking care of people. And what we really want to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what we really want to do is bring those people to the King of Kings and put them in God's family. And let God, as their father, begin to guide and direct them so that he will watch over them. And in the process, we share our goods with them so that we can participate in what God would have for them. I mean, again, if you listen to the last program, we're looking for ways to think about them. We're looking for ways to dream for them. We're looking for ways to show who God is. That's what we're doing. And in the process, there's food and there's other stuff. But the food and the clothing and the selling of the scarves, that's all great stuff. And that's part of our being able to be a part of what God wants to do. But the goal is really to bring them to God and to allow God to change both a culture and a life and a family so that the future generations have hope.
Yeah. And Dave, that's where, you know, we can talk about other parts of the world and why we do things, but let's bring it closer to home. As we have our conversation today, how can those listening use that kind of attitude and see the people around them come to Christ?
Yeah, you know, I think it's very simple again. I think God made it simple, because if he makes it too complex, we can always say, you know, it's like a tax code or something, and we can't read it anyway and understand it. And some people try that with the Bible, but it's not that complicated. Really, I have two major tasks in life. It's to love God, as we said before, and to love people. So to love God, you know, our listeners can say, okay, am I loving God? Well, God even defines that. Am I obeying God? Are you really listening to what he says? If you're not obeying God, you don't know him. What you need to do is spend more time with him, get to know him. And that's how you do it. You spend time in the Bible getting to know him with the idea that you want to know him. Because if you sincerely seek him, the Bible says you will find him. And that's what you're looking for. And the second thing that you want to do is get in the habit of this. When you look at somebody in the grocery store, when you look at somebody at the gas station, when you look at somebody at work, quickly look into their eyes and pray this: God, help me do what's necessary to help this person be successful. Put me in a position where I could use my life, my resources, my time to help them be successful in life. Now this may mean that you bring them to Christ, no doubt. It may mean that you help them buy lunch. It may mean that you teach them how to buy lunch themselves and work. I don't know what that means, but our habit isn't that. Our habit is always thinking in terms of what's in it for me.
Mm-hmm. That's the society we live in today.
We do, yes. And that's a destructive society. So I think, Don, it's really kind of a simple thing. I would ask that our people begin to look at why, look at the why behind the why when they look at somebody. I can see why somebody's needy, all right? But what can I do to solve the root problem and so that we can fix the future generations? In India, you know, what can we do? Well, I'll tell you what, if a massive amount of people in India come to Christ, they're not throwing the women out on the streets anymore. See, that's the why behind the why. And it's slow, but we need to do it.
And we bring that home to the United States of America.
We do. And we do that with our neighbor. We do that with the people down the street. We do that with the people at work.
We have so many things that we're concerned about today in our country here. And really, the root cause is our hearts and our neighbors' hearts and our community's hearts. And if we could get our hearts right, we wouldn't have all of these terrible issues going on that we hear about on the news every day.
Right. When you eclipse God, see, our churches are in danger, I believe, Don, because we've made them about people instead of God. Our families are in danger, I think, because we've made it about our families instead of God. Our neighborhoods are in trouble because we've made them about our neighborhoods instead of God. Now, what happens if we make everything about God? If we make church about God, then God makes it about people in the right way. We become empowerers instead of those who just enable people to stay like they are. We're not as concerned with numbers. We're more concerned with discipleship. It changes a little bit. If we're in our homes and our homes are about God instead of us, then what we're doing is talking at the dinner table with our children and talking about, why did God give us these assets? Why do we have, who do we need to help? Let's put our head on a swivel and look for how God would use us to impact other lives with what we have. Now, all of a sudden, that's a normal conversation in a home of people who love Jesus. And if we're looking in a community and we're trying to do that, we're saying, okay, in this community, how can this community be one that shows the love of Christ and shows who God is? You know, George Mueller was interesting. Anyone who knew him said his supreme passion was to display with open proofs that God could be trusted in the practical affairs of life. Hmm. And that was it. God could be trusted in the practical affairs.
Great thoughts again, Dave. You've been listening to Dave Wager. I'm Don Shire. The program is Conversations. is brought to you through the ministries of Silver Birch Ranch. And if you'd like to know more about that ministry, go to the website at silverbirchranch.org. Again, silverbirchranch.org. Thanks for listening. We look forward